The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Proverbs 15, we will read verses 1 through 17. The soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Thus far we read the inspired, infallible, sacred scripture tonight. The text is verses 16 and 17. The last two verses we read, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is prayer day, and the original purpose of the prayer day worship service in the Reformed churches is to invoke the blessing of God upon another agricultural year of planting and growing and harvesting, that God might provide for our physical, earthly, material, bodily needs. The Reformed believer is conscious of the fact that daily bread comes from God and therefore acknowledges God as the giver of every good gift, including daily bread, and prays to God for his daily bread. On prayer day, we want to have the right attitude concerning material things, and therefore we want to have an attitude toward material things that is shaped by the Bible. What does the Bible, as the Word of God, what does that have to say about material things? About a little thing or great treasure? About a dinner of herbs or a stalled ox? So that on prayer day, we not only want to pray to God for the supply of our material needs, but we want to pray for the right attitude to be able to look at material things biblically and in the right way. The passage tonight in Proverbs is the revelation of the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, describing in terms of material things the better home. Inspired Solomon gives a description of two different homes. On the one hand, there's a materially poor home. And then on the other hand, there is a materially wealthy home. In the materially poor home, there is the fear of the Lord and true love. And in the materially wealthy home, there is trouble and hatred. And the question is, which of the two homes is better? Now that should be an easy question to answer, but Ephesians 4 verse 22 says that our old man is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. The old man is a deceiver, and the wicked world is so deceptive, and the devil is the great deceiver, and these three enemies would have us believe that the most important thing in life is earthly riches and treasures, and that's more important than spiritual wealth, and therefore we ought to pray for riches and covet riches and earnestly seek riches and seek to have a home that is as materially prosperous as could possibly be, for in that way, we and our children will be happy. Which of the two homes is the better home? In His wisdom tonight, God says one home is better. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, and a stalled ox in hatred therewith. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will believe these words of wisdom, and we will live them, and therefore we will pray for spiritual riches and treasures, including contentment, whereby we shall be satisfied with whatever physical provisions God may give us today, tomorrow, and in the rest of the year before us. Let's look at the text tonight under the theme, the better home. First, the character of it. Second, the value of it. And third, the knowledge of it. In order to describe the character of the better home, we will have to describe it and what we will also call tonight the bitter home. It's a big difference between one letter. We have the better home and the bitter home. Better is a comparative term and indicates that two things are being analyzed. And so in the text, the Holy Spirit is describing two different homes, the better home and the bitter home. And the better home is called the better home exactly because it is better than the bitter home. The text is a description of two different homes. Verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. There indicates a sphere or a place. Verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where, that's another word indicating a sphere or a place, where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred there with. And according to the text, this place or sphere is where you would have a dinner. It is a home. And that's made explicit in the parallel passage, which is Proverbs 17, verse 1, which reads, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. The Holy Spirit is describing tonight two homes, and He draws out the strongest contrast. little and great treasure are not similar. They are opposite extremes. And a dinner of herbs and a stalled ox are not similar, but they are opposite extremes. And the fear of the Lord and trouble are not similar. They are opposite extremes. And love and hatred are not similar. They are opposite extremes. These two houses, the better house and the bitter house, are very different. Now let's follow the lead of the Holy Spirit of inspiration as He gives us, as it were, a tour into the better house. And in terms of its characteristics, He will show us four things. The first two are physical, and the second two are spiritual. The first two things we will see in the better house are, first, littleness, and second, a dinner of herbs. And then the last two things we will see are the fear of the Lord and true love. 16, better is one little with the three, fear of the Lord than, verse 17, better is a two, dinner of herbs, where for love is little. The better home is little. The father is the littlest farmer on the littlest field in the land. That is, he is the littlest man in the littlest company in town and takes home the littlest paycheck. The family has a house of little value. They have a donkey or a car of little value, a robe or a sweatshirt of little value, and a little tin can, which is their savings account, in which is one little penny. Little is the house. What captures the material littleness of their home better than anything else is their dinner of herbs. They are so poor that not only do they not have meat, they do not even have bread. They do not have grains, and they do not have an oven in order to bake bread. But when the woman of the home prepares a meal for her husband and her children, she goes out into the field and she grabs some herbs, which need no preparation. She takes some grass or she takes some lettuce leaves and she lays them out before her family. This is the family's dinner, a dinner of herbs. But when you walk through the house, you will notice that you will hardly notice the material poverty. In fact, the people in the home hardly notice the material poverty because the home is overflowing with spiritual treasures. They have the fear of the Lord there. Now, the fear of the Lord is the fruit of the gracious operation of the Holy Spirit, whereby the father and the mother and all of the children love the Lord God and stand in awe of Jehovah God as the God of the covenant, the God of Israel, the God of salvation. Every day in the home, they live in the conscious awareness of the God who has revealed Himself in His holiness, so that they factor God into every decision and into every situation of their home. Their home revolves around Jehovah God. How will God have us live in our marriage? And how will He have us rear our children? And how will He have us look at our parents? How will He have us behave on the Sabbath? How will He have us use our tongues? How will He have us engage in our work? The greatest fear of the family is not that they won't have meat to eat, but that they might displease their God by their conduct or their attitudes. They fear the Lord. They have a Bible. It's old and tattered because they live out of it. And every night they engage in family worship. There's reading and singing and praying. And all the members of the family say with marvel and awe, how great a God is our God, the God of Israel, who has redeemed us out of sin and death, and who promises us that He will give us His Son and that we will live with Him forever. Because they fear God, they are aware of their sins, and they hate their sins, and they confess their sins to each other and to God, and they correct their wrongs, and they cling to God's promises. And though all they can afford is one turtle dove, they bring it with great gladness in their heart to the tabernacle of God, for they fear the Lord. Fearing God, they love Him, of course. They love Him. And with all their love for God, there's a love that permeates their home. They love the Messiah of God and the promises of God and the church of God and the people of God, and they love each other. When the husband comes through the door, having finished his work in the field, his wife greets him with a hug and a kiss and a thank you for his labors. And after that dinner of herbs, the father hugs his wife, even in front of the children, and he kisses her. He tells her he's thankful for that fine meal of herbs. And the children talk sweetly to each other about their grasses and lettuce leaves. And they gladly help one another with their chores. And the whole family delights in fellowship and communion because they delight in the God whom they fear. And at night when they go to bed on their wooden bed with no mattress, but only one blanket to cover them and keep them warm, they get ready to arise the next day and to say, this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in this day too. And they eat their herbs, and off they go to be busy in another day for the Lord. As you leave this house, called the better house, you say about it, those people sure are poor and plain, but they sure love God and each other. The character of the better house really stands out when you look at it after touring the bitter house, which is characterized also by four elements. The first two are physical. According to verse 16, there is great treasure there. According to verse 17, there is the stalled ox there. According to verse 16, there is trouble there. And according to verse 17, there is hatred there. There's great treasure in the bitter house. The house is situated on a sprawling estate, and as you survey the horizon, dotting it will be many overflowing barns of abundance and maidservants and men servants bustling about. The father is the greatest farmer in the greatest field of the land. That is, he's the greatest businessman of the greatest company of the city, taking home the biggest paycheck. And the house of the family, it is. It is a mansion with all of its luxury and its rooms and its amenities and its pleasures and its goods and its toys and its scheduled vacations. All the things that wealth could buy. Great treasure there. But what really captures the material greatness and treasure of the home is the sumptuous dinner table on which sits a portion of a stalled ox. A stalled ox is a cow that has been fattened in the stall that it might be butchered and cut up into the choicest piece of meat, pieces of meat, so that the family, night after night after night after night, can fare sumptuously. It's at this table that children say things like, pass the New York strip, pass the ribeye, pass the filet mignon, pass the porterhouse. Now, it doesn't take a very perceptive person to notice. In fact, even children can notice this is a bitter home because there's trouble here. Though the husband has the whole world at his fingertips, the first thing he does when he walks through the door is complain about what his wife did or did not do. And the husband and wife, they sit down at the dinner table at night across from each other, and she casts an evil, grudging eye at him. And though they don't bicker and fight there at the table with words, everyone, even the youngest children, can feel the icy chill. The children really don't have a relationship with their parents. They have lots of things and lots of opportunities and pleasure and wealth, but there's one thing they don't really have, and that's a relationship with their father or their mother. The brothers are rivals, and the sisters are jealous of each other. The children don't listen to their parents. They don't respect their parents, and they don't do what their parents ask them to do. Quarrels and strife are common in the bitter home. Young and old usually go to bed agitated, vexed with cares, and even troubled in the conscience. There is no peace, no quietness in the bitter home. The home is full of trouble because there is no fear of the Lord here. And if there's no fear of the Lord, then there's no love for God and love for each other according to the great command of the God who is to be feared, which command is, love me with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. God doesn't factor into the decisions and the situations of this home, not in the marriage, not in the parenting, not in Sabbath observance, not in work life, not in their speech. They don't really love God. They don't really love His Messiah. They don't love His Word and His commands. They love money and they love pleasure, but not God and each other. They would never say that they hate God, but God says it. God uses the word hatred in the text. They wouldn't say it, but God does. They hate. And that's one of the root issues. They hate me. They hate each other. That really is the source of it all. Hatred in this home. Indeed, it is a bitter home. This is the bitter home, and its trouble and hatred serve to magnify the love and peace that characterizes the better home, poor materially as it may be. The better home is of far greater value than the bitter home. It is better. We have described the character of the home over against the bitter home, but now we have to drive home the main point of the Holy Spirit in the text. And His main point comes in the first two words of the verses. Better, verse 16. Better, verse 17. The home that is materially small but spiritually rich is better, verse 16. And better, verse 17, than the home that is materially great but spiritually impoverished. Better. Now, the Holy Spirit is not teaching us tonight that poverty is better than riches. Neither poverty nor riches is better than the other. In fact, later we learn, according to Proverbs 30, verse 8, to pray, "Give me neither poverty nor riches," because there are unique dangers that accompany poverty and also riches. Herbs or oxen do not make or break the home. The Spirit is not teaching us to abhor riches and to choose poverty. Neither is the Holy Spirit teaching us tonight that poor families are always happy and rich families are always bitter. That's not the point. There are many poor families that are torn by strife. And there are many wealthy families that have true love and peace and blessedness in Christ. Neither is the Holy Spirit teaching us tonight that a home full of trouble and hatred is good. It's only that a home that has the fear of the Lord and love is better. No, a home that does not have the fear of the Lord and love, but trouble and hatred, is not a good home. It is a home that must be reformed according to the Word of God. Rather, the Holy Spirit is teaching us that what determines the true value of a home is not the material possessions, but the spiritual treasures. The financially impoverished home is better, far better than the financially prosperous home when in the poor home there is the fear of the Lord and true love. That home is better. Better. The word better means good, pleasant, agreeable to the senses. So that the home is not only better according to God's declaration of it in the text, the home is better even to experience. We all know it. We all know which one is. The little children know which home is better. Sometimes in our folly, when we're influenced by the deceitful old man within, we will deny it or we will ignore it, but we know it. We know which home is better. The text gives us two extremes tonight. And now don't look at the physical with the dinner of herbs and the stalled ox, but look at the spiritual with the fear of the Lord and true love opposed to trouble and hatred. Our Christian homes are not always so full of the fear of the Lord and true love. But sometimes our own Christian homes start to drift toward the bitter home because of trouble and hatred and our relationships sour, and disobedience is tolerated and strife continues. Or sometimes the husband in the home, or the wife in the home, or the child in the home, the God-fearing home, is a man or a woman or a child that is not fearing God, that does not love His commandments, and that has an impact upon the whole home, and everyone feels it, and there's tension and strife and coldness. We know which home is better. In fact, it can get so bad that children in the spiritually degenerating but financially wealthy home start to cry, "We'll give it all. We'll give it all away. The stalled ox and all the treasures and the vacations and the money and the opportunities take it all away. We'd rather be little. We'd rather sleep on wood. We'd rather eat herbs at night and have a tin can with one penny if Dad and Mom would just love each other. That's what we want. Or if we siblings could just get along, if only there be peace in the home and true love abiding here. Or the spouse with a disobedient mate says, I'd gladly eat herbs for the rest of the year, the rest of my life. If only he or she would be converted unto God and amend his or her life and live with me in true unity in Christ. Our own experience confirms the word of the text. We know which home is the valuable home, the better home. But why? Why is the better home of the text indeed better than the bitter home when the bitter home is so luxuriously loaded? The text answers that question in verse 16 in one word. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Lord. That's the one word in the text that answers, why is the better house better? And the answer is, because there's the fear of the Lord there, meaning the Lord is in this home. The presence and blessing and grace of Jehovah are in the home, in the hearts of the man, the woman, and the children. What makes or breaks the house is not the herbs or the stalled ox, but Jehovah. And remember, the name Jehovah appears in the New Testament as Jesus, Jehovah, salvation. What makes a home better is that Jesus is there. What is earthly treasure compared to Jesus? What is a stalled ox and steaks of the choicest cuts compared to Jesus? What are the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the mansions and gold and luxury of the earth? They are but dust before Jesus. Jehovah is infinite in His grace. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. He saves unworthy sinners who deserve to die because they chose to die. He gives the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, in whom are joy and peace and hope and faith and love and righteousness and wisdom and protection and atonement through blood and a resurrection from the dead and everlasting life. But Jehovah God not only gives blessings and things, He gives His presence through Jesus Christ. He is our God and the God of our children in the covenant, so that through faith we can have a personal relationship with Him, and the loving kindness of Jehovah God is better than life. It is. It's better than life. Riches don't satisfy. They never will. They cannot. They leave the heart empty. There's only one who can satisfy. And in 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul identifies Him as Jesus, whom God gave unto us as wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption to the preaching of His cross. Remember Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I have to choose between the Lord and a fatted calf, I will choose Jehovah. If I have to choose between Jehovah and great treasures now and forever on this earth, I will choose Jehovah. If I must have a little and a dinner of herbs in order to have the fear of the Lord and true love, I will have poverty, because the blessedness of communion with God through Jesus Christ is, it's better than life. The better home is better because Jehovah is there with His blessing, in His grace, with His presence. And the bitter house is worse because Jehovah is there with his curse. When father and mother and children disregard Jehovah God and his good commandments, he troubles them. He troubles them. He troubles their relationships. He troubles their conscience. It is Jehovah who makes all the difference. So then the fear and love of God make the lowliest food sweet. Trouble and hatred make the richest feast bitter. Jehovah, he makes the difference. And above all else, what makes the better house truly better is that those who live in the fear of the Lord and truly love each other bring glory to God. And there's nothing better, as far as homes go now, than a home that brings glory to God. Better, says the Spirit. Beloved, it is our salvation tonight to know by faith, to believe, and to live the truth of the text in wisdom, to know the truth of the better house. The text is not an opinion piece penned in the magazine Better Homes and Gardens. Valuable and useful though that magazine may be for many different earthly purposes, rather, the text is God's wisdom declared by the Holy Spirit who inspired Solomon to write the words of the text, which we call a proverb. And he who will truly know this proverb, believe it by faith, take it unto heart, he will be wise and he will be blessed. He is a wise man. Now, the wise one, of course, is Jesus, who came into little Bethlehem and into our poverty, into our humanity, into our sin, our family sins, our home sins. And he took the shame of family sin, and he took the guilt of home sin, and he went into the poverty of our accursed death, and into the poverty of the grave, and he paid for our sins and reconciled us unto God and arose on the third day. And now is in heaven, and he pours out his Holy Spirit of wisdom into our hearts so that we can read the proverb of Christ himself in the text. Know it, believe it, live it by the power of his Spirit. And there's wisdom. By his Spirit, the wise man will hear this proverb, take it to heart, and do a number of things. First, he will say, as for me and my house, we will not make too much of riches. Here on prayer day, tonight in the worship service, and praying for our daily bread, and looking ahead to the future and thinking about our material needs and contemplating the economy and the job situation and the savings account and the investments. As for me, says the wise man, and my family, in light of this word of God, we will not make too much of riches. Having lots of money doesn't guarantee trouble, but having lots of money oftentimes brings trouble because money is a snare. We will not make too much of riches, says the wise man. I don't want to be covetous of money. As for me and my house, we don't want to be jealous of the treasures of others and their stalled oxen. Money can't buy peace. Money can't fix a marriage. Money can't convert a wayward son or daughter. Money can't make a home warm. A man's home consisteth not in the abundance of things. As for me and my house, we will not make too much of riches. Secondly, the wise man who hears this proverb and takes it to heart by the Holy Spirit will say, as for me and my house, we will make much of the fear of the Lord and true love and live in gratitude and praise for these spiritual blessings. Tonight, prayer day worship service, we will thank God and be content even if all we have are some herbs. If there's the fear of God in our house and true love in our house, if we have Jesus Christ, then no matter what we don't have in the house, our marriage, our relationships, our life, our home is valuable. And if God should take away from us a job this year or bring plight, we will still thank Him because He puts His fear in our hearts. For that we praise and give thanks. Thirdly, the wise man who takes this word to heart will say, as for me and my house, we will go home this Wednesday night and repent. And repent. The wise man will go home and humble himself before God and his family. If he's been doing anything to make his home a bitter home, if he's not been fearing God, loving God and his family as he ought. And the wise woman will go home tonight, and if she's been doing anything to cause strife in her house, she will repent. Tonight, Wednesday night, if there's a young man or a young woman here who's been doing something, being unruly in conduct, disrespectful of parents, creating trouble in the home, if he or she is truly wise, he or she will go home tonight and will repent. The fool will hear this word tonight and dismiss it. And he'll go home and be just fine with bitterness and trouble. The wise man will repent. And in Jesus Christ will find pardon for his hatred and trouble and the power to fear God, keep his commandments, and love God and the family. And then fourth and in conclusion, the wise man who takes this word to heart will pray for daily bread. Yes, but also come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and take all those who fear Thee and love Thee home, where nothing is small and there is no hatred and no trouble, but glory and satisfaction in Thy immediate presence as we behold Thee, our God, in the face of Jesus Christ. For this is the better home, the better garden called paradise. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that the seed sown may not fall on hard, rocky, or thorny soil, but that the Holy Spirit has been very busy tonight. making fertile soil and causing the word to fall and to produce good fruit so that we all go home moved by the power of the Holy Spirit to fear thee, to love thee and each other, and to value what we have in thy covenant, never to be jealous for riches, never to be covetous of what other people have, but to thank thee, profoundly thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for him in our homes, for he makes the difference, and to long for life in perfection with him in glory. Teach us wisdom, O God, give us wisdom, and may it be for the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.